Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
London watching Ukraine crisis. London watching Boris Johnson crisis. Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes Political Economics, the column. He's based in London. So Joe does me the favor of observing the crisis on the continent, especially Germany, because of the hesitation of the new German government to participate in the NATO-EU condemnation of Russia, absolutely. He also watches London, where Boris Johnson increasingly gets into trouble I can't solve and figure out, so I need Joe's help. But we begin with Boris Johnson in the news about Ukraine. Joe, a very good day to you. The headline in the London Times was stark. Britain will not flinch over Ukraine, says Boris Johnson. Subhead, defiant message to Putin as Marines and Typhoon jets are prepared for deployment. How is the Ukraine story being told to the British media, by the British media? How is the public perceiving the threat of war? And why is Boris Johnson beating war drums? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Well, I mean, the first important point here is that, I mean, my sense is that the public is paying attention to this. And it is certainly in a lot of media coverage in the newspapers and the television news right now. So it would seem that even though British voters are facing plenty of their own domestic policy concerns, there is also an awareness that the Ukraine situation is a problem, perhaps because events in Ukraine are actually directly related to some of the domestic concerns. I mean, we've spoken before about the fretfulness and the dismay about inflation and particularly rising energy prices in Britain. And there is a sense that the geostrategy surrounding energy in the Ukraine situation is playing a part in that. And, you know, along with that, I think that there's an awareness here of two other factors. One is, unfortunately, NATO allies seem to be very divided on this matter right now. I think that Britain certainly would prefer to take a somewhat more assertive approach and has been trying to send important military aid to Ukraine ahead of any potential Russian invasion. And yet you have other major European partners like France and Germany seemingly all moving in different directions here. And I think that is causing a certain amount of frustration. And on top of that, I suspect that there's a certain amount of frustration in Britain and the British government with a failure of leadership from the Biden administration in all of this. Because I think that, Europeans are realistic about the fact that the U.S. is in a position to lead the alliance in a way that very few others could even try to do. And they are not getting from Washington the sort of leadership in this crisis that they would have hoped for. And so I think that there's also a certain frustration within Britain about that.
The Boris Johnson remarks are quite eloquent. He writes a column for the London Times. He is a journalist by training. The greatest immediate priority of Britain's overseas effort is to stand with our allies and combine deterrence with dialogue to de-escalate this crisis and prevent the catastrophe of another Russian invasion of Ukraine. To that end, Mr. Macron in Moscow and then in Kiev, Herr Scholz, the new chancellor of Germany, in Washington, Boris Johnson himself traveled to Kiev last week. To my knowledge, there is no plan for him to go to Moscow at this point. Does this favor Boris Johnson's popularity or significance to the British people, given how much trouble he is and on domestic matters to do with the virus?
Well, again, I think that there is an appreciation of the fact that he is trying to take a firm stand on this. And, you know, an important bit about Boris Johnson's background is he's a great admirer of Churchill, you know, the great wartime prime minister. And so I think that there's a feeling that this is the sort of crisis that, you know, perhaps if you could think of the form of crisis that Boris Johnson would be best equipped to understand in terms of foreign policy, this is that kind of situation. And that is heightening some of the domestic frustration with some of the scandals that you and I have talked about that he's facing at the moment. Because I think that there is a real concern about whether his government is distracted right now by some of these domestic political and policy problems that they're facing. So I think that, you know, you could probably say that there is a fair amount of support here for the approach that he is taking on Ukraine and a great desire or wish that he could just focus on doing more of it. And yet that seems not to be possible owing to some of his other political challenges at the moment.
A detail about London. I've been told over the years that there is a section of your city called Londongrad, entirely owned by sometimes non-transparent corporations associated with Russian oligarchs, sometimes the children of Russian oligarchs who are as English as Downing Street. So is that accurate? Is there a Londongrad? And is that in the conversation over possible sanctions?
Well, this is part of the difficulty that Britain is going to have, even if they want to take a firm approach with Vladimir Putin's Russia over Ukraine. You know, when people talk about Londongrad, they don't mean a specific neighborhood as if it were a little Italy or you know, that, or a Chinatown or something like that. It's more a reference to the fact that over the years, a lot of very wealthy Russians, including oligarchs who are connected to Putin's regime, have found that the UK is a good place for them to stash their wealth, partly because there's a very liquid property market here. And, you know, there was this perception that British property investments are very secure, partly because there are very liquid financial markets and also very good rule of law. And also, if we're honest, because the British government has not always been as aggressive as peers like the U.S. In terms of cracking down on money laundering regulations and know your customer rules and that sort of thing. So, you know, one of the strategic problems that Britain will have is that they are going to have to get a handle on the situation if they are going to participate in any sort of hard-hitting financial sanctions effort that Western allies might want to launch if there is an invasion in Ukraine. And so that's going to mean a bunch of very difficult regulatory changes that they would have to make in order to sanction a lot of this Russian financial investment and activity in London's financial markets and property markets. And it might mean that there will be an economic cost for Britain of cracking down on that activity that's been very profitable. But the discussion is interesting. It's been changing. And I think that people are now talking about how that might be a price that it is worth it for Britain to pay in order to have security and stability more broadly across Europe.
European Union. Britain is not a member of the European Union, and that conflict goes right to the question of finances of the EU. Britain is a member of NATO. This disconnect, is it an issue, Joe, or is that just for parliamentarian debate and it's not real, being out of EU and in NATO at the same time?
Well, I think that there is an interesting sense in which this is kind of clarifying that old discussion from the Brexit debate, because the reality is that it's NATO that matters here. And in fact, if you look at the broader contours of European diplomacy on the Ukraine issue, the main European participants have been Boris Johnson in the UK, Olaf Scholz, the new Chancellor of Germany, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and then various of the Baltic and Eastern European national leaders are trying to participate in this. Brussels hasn't really been much of a presence. I mean, they keep trying to insert themselves into this discussion, but I think there's an understanding that any sort of solution to this problem is going to run through NATO. And so from that perspective, Britain is finding that their role is not much diminished for being outside of the European Union, because they are still very much inside the club that matters.
There's a double scandal in London. We've dealt with the big one, the one where the nuclear weapons in Russia become part of the conversation. Now we're going to deal with the even bigger one, which is Boris Johnson reshuffling his already reshuffled cabinet and singing "I Will Survive" quite oddly in the face of his own party's unhappiness. Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London, writes political economics, and when we come back, he's going to help me understand an overwhelming amount of detail about Boris Johnson, his own party, parties that took place some year, 2 years ago during the virus, the economy and its recovery, and also remarks made about Keir Starmer that have led to what looked to be a mini riot in the streets of London. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.